All right, what's up, everybody? This is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Hope everyone had a great weekend. It is Monday, November the 6th. We're coming back after a weekend break, and we're kicking off this week of podcasts with a great segment today. For you guys that are like, that you like equipping messages, I believe you're really going to enjoy this message that we're going to talk about today. Listen, before we get started, do me a favor, hit that like button, that bell notification, that subscribe button, whatever, depending on what platform you're listening from. This helps us push our material out there on these algorithms, on these social media networks. And of course, let us know where you guys are joining us from today. If this is your new, if this is the first time you've joined us, excuse me, from whether somebody invited you in, you stumbled across our channel, whatever the case would be, if you're new, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. We'd love to hear from you. So today, this is a message that I've entitled, How to Survive This Modern Day Babylonian System. If I had to subtitle this, I would title this, If I Were Wrong on the Rapture, This is How I Would Prepare Myself to Endure What is Coming. Let me say that one more time. The title of this message is How to Survive This Modern Day Babylonian System. If I were to subtitle this message, it would be If I'm Wrong About the Rapture, This is How I Would Prepare to Endure What We Are About to Embark In.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, everybody, again, it is so good to be back with you guys, back in the studio with another week. We're kicking this week off at podcast. Listen, do me a favor again, hit the like button, share button. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to do that today. It's available on Apple and Android devices. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I want to get right into the message. But if you do not have our app, this is how you're going to keep up with our ministry, guys. Download the app today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be set to go with every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. So I want to talk about this message. So as many of you guys know that are regular viewers and listeners of our program, last week I had Bishop Larry Ragland in from The Big Picture. And the entire segment was on how to identify the Babylonian system. And we went, almost an hour, and he really hit some key points on how to identify this Babylonian system, how it is infiltrated every sector of our lives, every industry, every platform, every sector of our lives. The Babylonian system has been here since the beginning of time, Genesis 11, and it is still going, it is still here, it is still strong, and it's still operating in our culture today. So I want to encourage, if you did not listen to that podcast, go to our YouTube channel, find us on Apple, Spotify, go back and listen to that program, watch it here on Facebook, it's all there. Go back and watch that, and we talk about specifically how to identify the Babylonian system. But today, now that we've identified this system, I want to talk about how are we supposed to survive this? How are we to endure this system? How are we to navigate through this Babylonian system that has taken the entire world captive? Well, I want to talk about that today. So let's go into the book of Daniel, because that's where we're going to have to go with this. I'm going to be reading here from the New King James. We're going to start at Daniel 1. We're going to jump around to different chapters here as we kind of navigate through this message. But I'm telling you, this is going to be a great blessing to everyone that's listening. And I know, listen, you guys know our view on a pre-tribulation rapture. But I'm going to show you some things in here that I think that all of you guys who either don't believe in the rapture or you're post-trib, you're going to really enjoy this segment. And this may ruffle some feathers of the pre-tribulation rapture views, those who hold to that view as well. So again, this is why I've always emphasized here, it doesn't matter what view you are on the rapture. No rapture, pre, mid, post. We have to prepare ourselves to endure till the end, whatever that looks like. Endure to the end of the tribulation, or endure until the eastern sky splits, endure until the trumpet sounds. Again, the key is to endure. So today, I want to talk about the Babylonian system, how to endure this system. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. I'm going to keep reading, and then we'll go back and we'll plow into this. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. Verse 4, young men, in whom there was no blemish, but they were good looking. They were gifted in all wisdom. They possessed knowledge and were quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Verse 5, and the king appointed for them a daily provision. Wow, there's so much in this, guys. Of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. All this is important today. He gave Daniel the name of Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, quote, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? And then you would endanger my head before the king. Verse 11. I promise we're almost done here, guys, and then we're gonna just rock and roll into this thing. So Daniel said to the steward, from the chief of the eunuchs had said over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. So they went on this type of, we call it the, now, many churches have coined this the Daniel fast, and this is what this is referring to. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus, the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine in which they were to give and to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and in dreams. Let's pray real quick. Father, I pray that you would anoint my words, anoint my lips, anoint the words in which I would speak today. I pray that it would be inspired by the Holy Spirit, and Lord, it would bring forth the heart of the Father today. I pray that it would be that it would go forth and it would pierce the hearts and the minds and the souls and the spirits of the listeners and the recipients of this message. I pray that you, by the help of the Holy Spirit, would help me to form and articulate this word and this message to be relevant into today's culture. May it be prophetic. May it be relevant today, and may it bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And it's in Jesus' name, all God's people said amen and amen. So I want to show you something here. So here we have four young men. We have, again, your Bible calls them Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are the four young men that were taken into captivity under the Babylonian Empire by the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon from 605 BC to around 563 BC, and he was responsible for changing the names of these four men. It is important to note that some of the inhabitants of Judah were taken back to Babylon as captives, including a number of the children of royal and noble families, in order for them to be integrated into Babylonian society or culture. Among those men, young men, we're talking about teenagers here, guys, were these four boys. All of them were around 14 years of age. Now, guys, I have a 15-year-old son. I cannot imagine 14-year-olds going into captivity, but that's exactly what happened. Your Bible says that the first thing that happened was that the Babylonian Empire besieged Jerusalem, and the Lord gave the king into the hand of Babylon. So, listen, I want to tell you today, it's not a matter of if, it is absolute that the whole world, not just America, but the entire world has now been brought into captivity with not a physical nation, okay? Not a physical military allegiance, but the whole world is now under the sway, your Bible says, under the sway of the wicked one, under the ruler of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, Lucifer, Satan, the whole, listen to me. Let me bring this home right here and say this. The whole world is now under the sway and influence of the Babylonian system. This is what Larry Ragland and I covered last week. We gave you the earmarks on how to identify that. And we proved it in that podcast that the whole world is now under the influence of the Babylonian Empire. Now, some nations are worse than others. America is probably up there, I would say, in the top three of worst nations that are influenced by this Babylonian system, this empire. Again, we're not talking about the physical sense, but we're talking about the spiritual sense. But I want to show you the manifesto of... we're going to pull a little bit of out of what Larry talked about last week. I got to pull a little bit of that out. I'm going to take a little bit deeper layers here than even what was brought out last week, because I got to pull this out to get to you how these four men survived the Babylonian system, because that's what we need to know, right? We need to know this. We don't need to know just how to identify this system, but we need to know how to endure through this system, right? Come on, somebody. So the first thing that the enemy does is he brings the nations of the world into captivity. And this is already done. This is not a matter of if it's going to happen. This has already happened, guys. It has already happened, okay? John tells us that all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but they are of the world. They are of the enemy. And the whole world is under the sway of this, okay? So notice here, this is what I want to show you though. Notice that the next thing the enemy desired to do was he strategically infiltrated the nation, and I'm going to say even the church, with the intent to carry away vessels from the house of God and bring them into bondage and captivity to the kingdom of darkness. Let me say that one more time. Read it, Daniel 1. The enemy's, listen to me, the enemy's strategy in this hour is to infiltrate the nations of the world, and especially the house of God. See, because there was a time when the nations of the world were being infiltrated, but the house of God was exempt. The house of God was still holy. The house of God still had a standard. The house of God still had watchmen. The house of God still had prophets on the wall. They had watchmen on the wall. They were looking out for these things. They kept the wolves at bay. They kept the goats at bay. They kept the tares at bay. But something has happened over time. And listen, I got another message I want to give you this week, and I don't want to get into that message, but you'll have to listen to that message later. But we're going to give you more details on how this has happened. But the point is, now the walls of the church has been breached, even so much so that, come on, holy, sanctified, and set apart vessels that were being used by God at one time have now been carried out of the house of God and have now been brought into captivity to the kingdom of darkness. Your Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar managed to take captive many of the called vessels. Oh, come on. The talented, the gifted, those that possess great wisdom and gifts and talents that could be used for his kingdom. Have you, listen, if you're confused or you don't understand why the enemy is targeting our young people so much, because the enemy understands that to get them early, to get them young, to get them before they come into full maturity and full development and understanding of the call that God has on their life, the talents that God has given unto them, the gifts that God has entrusted them with. So listen, some of the parents don't recognize this. Many of the churches don't recognize this. Some of the pastors don't understand this and recognize this. But you know what? You know who does? The enemy. Satan sees, knows, and understands and comprehends the threat that this generation has against his kingdom. So listen, Satan knows that he cannot defeat God. He cannot stop God's prophetic word from coming to pass. He cannot stop Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 30. Satan cannot stop God from continuing to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, sons and daughters. Satan cannot stop the prophetic word of James in James chapter 5 that God is going to pour out not a former rain only, Acts chapter 2, but he's going to pour out a latter day rain that is going to sweep the globe, that is going to be the one last move of God, because the husbandman and the farmer are patiently waiting for the fruit of the earth. Because listen, let me talk to you about it like this. In Israel, Israel understood that there was a former and latter rain. There was a former rain that came into the spring months, and there was a former rain in the spring months, and there was a latter rain that came in the fall months. One rain was for the specifics of planting the seed, and the other was for the watering and the growth of the seed. Oh, come on. Acts chapter 2 was the birth of the church. But then we have another outpouring that's been promised in the last days, and we're in it per se now, but we're going to see a greater measure of it. Come on, Haggai. Haggai chapter 2 says that God will shake heaven and earth and sea and the dry land, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. He said, because the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former house. So listen, many believers don't know this. They're not taught this. They don't understand this. They don't comprehend this. But Satan knows this. The kingdom of darkness knows this. The kingdom of hell knows this. And this Babylonian system, being that Satan can't stop prophecy from being fulfilled, so what is Satan doing? He is strategically going to and fro over the earth, looking who he can devour. He is finding young people, those of an early age, and he is bringing them into captivity to this Babylonian system. He's bringing them into bondage. He's bringing them into strongholds. He is, oh, listen to me, he's even going right into the church house. How's he getting, how is the wolf getting into the hen house? How is the wolf getting into the sheep pen? Well, the answer is because of complacency, lukewarm living, no standards, no longer preaching against the very things that was keeping the wolf at bay. The wolf is not exposed. The wolf is not brought to the light. The wolf is not brought to the attention of the church. Instead, now the wolf is comfortable in the flock. The goats are comfortable in the flock. The tares are growing among the wheat. So being that the enemy now has a foothold in the church, he is, watch this, he is pulling precious vessels out of God's house and he's carrying them away into, your Bible says in Daniel chapter 1, let me go back to the text. Look what it says here, guys. In verse 2 it says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar. We talked about the land of Shinar, again, is ancient Iraq. This is where the Tower of Babel was constructed. This is the womb of every major false religion. We talked about that with Larry Ragland last week. This is all this end time activity right here. All of this end time activity comes right out of this region. So these precious vessels were carried into the house of his God. I mean, listen, time, I don't have the time to sit here and explain this, but you know how many pop stars, rock and roll artists, Hollywood movie stars, celebrities, famous people who, watch this, they started out in the house of God, but over time, they were influenced by the Babylonian system that ended up taking them captive, pulled them out of the house of God, and now they're in the house of a false god. Now they're serving Satan. Why was the enemy so strategic on who he got? He went after Elvis. He went after a Katy Perry. He went after a Britney Spears. He went after a Whitney Houston. All these people, guys, you go research them. They started out in the house of God. Some of these had pastors for their fathers, but they were influenced by this Babylonian system. But you know what all of them have in common? They were talented, they were gifted, and they all had a call on their life. You think Satan gave them that gift to sing? And you think Satan gave them that gift and that influence? No, that talent, those gifts, that ability to sing like that, that was not given by Satan. That was given by God for his kingdom, for the purpose to serve his kingdom. And Satan saw this, so he managed to influence them, bring them to captivity, and he took these precious vessels out of the house of God, and now they're serving the god of this world. Now, I want to show you how the enemy, listen how strategic the enemy is on trying to reprogram and conform these vessels into his image. Now, when I say his, I'm talking about Satan's, not God's. Let me say that again. The next thing that the enemy tries to do, right off the bat, is he tries to conform and rebrand these captive vessels into his image. Okay, watch this. Daniel 1:5, it says, and the king appointed for them. Now we're talking about Shadrach. We're talking about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and the wine. Somebody say the king's delicacies and the king's wine. This is going to be important, which he drank, and 3 years of training for them. So let's recap this. A daily provision of the delicacies of the king and of the wine, and 3 years of training. Why? So that at the end of that time, these men might serve before the king, who is the king of Babylon at that time. That's Daniel 1:5. So when we talk about delicacies and wine, delicacies, by definition is something delightful or pleasing to the taste. Wine is an intoxicating drink that impairs the senses and discernment of an individual. So for, I'm going to preach right here for a minute. Delicacies, foods that were pleasant to the taste, but bad for the health. Because remember, Daniel said, no, we don't want to eat of the delicacies of the king, but we just give us only vegetables to eat. So again, delicacies can represent foods that were pleasant to the taste, but bad for the health. Watch out, that'll preach right there. Come on, today's vernacular would be like fast food, potato chips, ice cream, come on, Mexican food every single day, Italian food every single day, bread every single meal. Come on. We're talking about foods that are pleasant to the taste, but bad for the health. Oh, listen to me. Somebody needs to hear this. The Babylonian system wants to feed us its delicacies from the music industry, the movie industry, the entertainment industry. Listen, some of y'all, you can't get victory because you've been eating your portion of daily bread from the music industry, the entertainment industry, the movie industry, from everything from the spread of Babylon that is feeding your soul and spirit every single day. The enemy wants us to consume our daily bread. Did you know the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread? But the enemy wants you to consume our daily bread and portion of the Babylonian spread from his table. Listen, I'm going to prove to you, let me prove to you that one of the reasons why so many vessels are being taken captive out of the house of God is because the church, come on, the modern day church has become so accustomed to consuming their daily bread of pleasantries and delicacies that are, come on, they taste good to their flesh. It tickles their ears. It, oh, come on, it caters to them, but it's bad for their spiritual walk. Some of y'all ain't getting this, so let me make this a little bit more simpler for you. Paul said it like this. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Have you ever wondered how we would get to this point? Well, look around, folks, because we're here. Again, this is why the fastest growing churches that has been for years now are these churches that have turned from sound doctrine. They've turned from the truth of the fundamentals of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't preach the cross. They don't preach the blood. They don't preach repentance. They don't preach against sin. They don't preach any of this. They don't preach deliverance. They don't talk about spiritual warfare. They don't talk about any of these things. Again, it's these doctrines of itching ears. It caters to their flesh. It's, I call it this gummy bear, sugar filled, spineless, watered down, apathetic, diluted gospel that feels good to the flesh, caters to the flesh, but is not producing any fruit or maturity of the believer. So listen, if your playlist of preachers contains all these preachers and teachers to you that never convict you, never charge you to change, never brings correction to you, never inspires you to go deeper with God, spend more time in devotion, more time in prayer, more time in intercession, more time in fasting, more time in self-denial, then friends, what you have done unknowingly, unwillingly, without recollection, perhaps you have now been partaking of, without knowing this, you've been sitting at the table and eating from the Babylonian system. In fact, Paul says that there will be a specific spirit that will be involved in the latter days that he calls and identifies as a seducing spirit. Now, this is if you go look this up, a seducing spirit is a spirit that draws individuals slowly from truth into error. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, that in the latter days, these spirits, these seducing spirits and doctrines of demons will be directly involved in causing many to depart from the faith and have their conscience seared with a hot iron. Wow. Think about it, church. Think about it. All right, so we have the Babylonian system that wants to feed us its delicacies, and then we have the Babylonian system that is pushing the wine. Now, again, wine, by definition, is an intoxicating drink with the intent to impair the senses and discernment. The Babylonian system wants to keep a generation, you listen to me, intoxicated, inebriated, impaired, and numb and dumb. Why? Because it makes them easier prey to be controlled, manipulated, and used for the kingdom of darkness. Why do you think we have an absolute epidemic of fentanyl, crack, meth, alcohol, cocaine, marijuana? Your Bible even goes as far as in Revelation and identifies this as the spirit of sorcery. In the Greek, it's pharmakia. No wonder the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he tells us as believers to be not drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I got to get through this, guys, because I got to give you the solution. I'm kind of pulling more stuff from last week's message, but I want to give you more details on this. This Babylonian system is here. It's taking the world captive. It's feeding its daily portion of delicacies. It's keeping a generation numb and dumb and inebriated, and its senses dull and cannot have no discernment. Come on. And it's a proven fact. When an individual becomes intoxicated, they lower their guard, lower their standard, lower their morality, and they begin to engage in things that will get them in a lot of trouble. So they begin to make irrational decisions. All right, I got to get to the next part. Here's what's interesting. The next thing that this Babylonian system wants to do is it wants to change your identity and make you a product of the kingdom of darkness. Oh, come on. Why do you think this generation has been bombarded with the transsexual agenda, the bisexual agenda, the gender confusion, the non-binary, the gender transformation surgeries, and the list goes on? Why? Because one of the first primary things that the enemy wants to do to bring you into full compliance to his system is to change your identity. The Babylonian system does not want your children. It does not want my children. It does not want this generation to know the truth. And that is in Psalm 139, 13, 14, that we were formed in our inward parts. The Lord covered us in our mother's womb, and that we are to praise him, for he fearfully and wonderfully made us. It says in verse, again, Psalms 139, 13 through 14, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you, and when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as of yet they were none of them. Listen, the enemy doesn't want you to know this. The Babylonian system doesn't want you to know this. Social media doesn't want you to know this. Come on, the elites doesn't want you to know this. The Satan does not want you to know that you were created by God, for God, and for his purpose. So why do you think he came in and the first thing he did was change the names of these four Hebrew boys? You have Daniel, which means God is my judge. You had Hananiah, which is God is gracious. You had Mishael, which is who is like God, and Azariah, which means God helps. So watch this. The Babylonian system changed their names. Daniel went from Daniel to Belshazzar, meaning Bel protect the king. This is the same name as Nebuchadnezzar's son or grandson, and Bel was a Babylonian god. Hananiah was changed to Shadrach, meaning command of Aku, which was also a Babylonian god. Mishael was changed to Meshach, which was a Babylonian moon god, Aku. And Azariah was changed to Abednego, which is the Babylonian god of wisdom, Nebo. Come on, are you getting this today? All right, so now I want to give you, let me give you the next 20 minutes, and I want to talk about this. So, okay, you say, okay, Brother Ricky, I get it. We get it. We understand the Babylonian system. We understand the characteristics of it. We understand how to identify it. We now understand that it's infiltrated our nation. It's infiltrated the world. It's taking people into captivity. It's even taking people in the church into captivity. It's changing their identity. It's trying to use them and to manipulate them and use them for Satan's kingdom. So you say, how do we endure through this system? That's where I want to go. So I took a long time to get here, but I want to talk about, listen, it's not really complex, and it's not something that's super deep. Ready? The way these four boys survived the Babylonian system was one word: obedience. Let me say that again. One word: obedience. They were obedient to the God they serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Your Bible says that they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Listen to me clear. If we're going to survive this Babylonian system, we, as in me and you, and as for me and my household, that means my spouse, that means my children, that means my grandchildren, we are going to have to make a decision now. Are we going to be lukewarm? Are we going to be complacent? Are we going to compromise? Are we going to ride the fence? Are we going to drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons? Are we going to eat from the table of Babylon or the King of Kings? Are we going to choose sanctification and come out from among them and be separate? Or are we going to live with one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the kingdom of darkness? The king of Babylon, listen to me, the king of Babylon understood that it only took 3 full years to have these boys in complete control and under the Babylonian system. Through that, they would consume daily and their identity transformation to brand them as servants of Babylon. Let me say that again. It would only take, the enemy understood that it'd only take you 3 years. You'd be surprised how much damage can be done in 3 years. There's only 4 years in a presidential term. You know how much damage one president can do in a full term of 4 years? In 3 years, Satan understood through the Babylonian system, if we can get these boys to change their identity, to eat them from, come on, that they could eat from the table of Babylon, to consume these delicacies, to get them inebriated and intoxicated, to dull their senses, then they would become servants of Babylon. Now, what I'm about to say here, listen, this is you, all you post-tribbers and no rapture folks are going to love this part. But I got to pull it out. I can't ignore it. The simple act of obedience prepared and conditioned these young men to be able to endure something that was going to be far greater than that which they had already faced. Let me say that again. The act of obedience that they were partaking of when they were being interviewed and being prepared to be rebranded, Their act of obedience that they stood for God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this act of obedience, little did they know that it would prepare them to be able to endure something far greater that was going to soon come that they would be faced with. Now that brings me to the next part. When you go to Daniel chapter 3, okay, so Daniel chapter 3, We know there was a process of time. Nebuchadnezzar makes a gold image. The Bible says its height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He put it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar sent forth word to gather the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to this dedication of this image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Your Bible says in verse 3 of Daniel 3, so the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Excuse me. And they stood before the image that the king had set up. There was a herald cry that was given, quote, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and the symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. No, this is not Revelation 13. This is Daniel 3. I'm going to talk more about that in a second. And whoever does not, verse 6, fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So at that time, verse 7, when all the people had heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, all these instruments in symphony with all kinds of music, all people, I said all people, all nations, all languages fell down and worshiped the golden image. Verse 8, I find this very interesting in the climate that we're in right now, present at the time of this broadcast. Therefore, this is verse 8 of Daniel 3. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of these instruments should bow down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the fiery burning furnace. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So these are, again, these men were in positions of authority, guys. Who were they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the report got back to the king that they are not worshiping the image. They are not serving you. They're not worshiping your gods. They're not worshiping your gods. They're not serving your gods. They're not worshiping your image. Your Bible says in Daniel 3:13, Nebuchadnezzar became full of rage and fury, and he gave the command to get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Go get them and bring them back to me. So they brought these men before the king. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I've set up? And he warns them. He sternly warns them. If these allegations are true, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace to meet your fate. Verse 16, these three boys answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, wow, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known unto you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship this image that you have made and created. So guys, we know the story. Nebuchadnezzar became full of rage. He threw the three men into the fiery furnace. He turned it up seven times hotter. And then in verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar was astonished because he rose in haste and looked and said, did we not cast three men into the fiery furnace? And they said, yes, this is true. In verse 25, he says, look, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is likened unto the Son of God. Have you ever read this and be like, how in the world? This has always been perplexing. How in the world did Nebuchadnezzar know what the Son of God even looked like? Woo, there's your brain buster right there. But Nebuchadnezzar said this. There is a fourth man walking in the midst of the fiery furnace likened unto the Son of God. So these three men came out of the fiery furnace that, by the way, backfired on Nebuchadnezzar. They came out and they did not even smell like smoke because God delivered them from this trial in which they endured. All right, then that leaves us with Daniel. Then we go over here to Daniel chapter 6. I want to, again, for sake of time, guys, I want to paraphrase this. A king by the name of Darius came into power and he set over the kingdom 120 men to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. So Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps. Why? Because Daniel had an excellent spirit about him, is what your Bible says. But these governors and these men sought to find charges against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Oh, make no buts about it, guys. Listen, all of you, every one of us, you need to listen to me. All of you believers, born again believers, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that you don't compromise and you stand on the word. I don't care what your occupation or your position is. You need to know there will come a time, if it hasn't happened yet, there will come a time when the enemy will try to bring persecution against you because of your commitment and your obedience to God. This is exactly what's happening here. Daniel is, the enemy is strategizing, trying to form a weapon against him to try and fault in him. But the Bible says they could not find any fault or charge against Daniel. So because of this, they understood how to work the system. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said the government leaders of the day knew they couldn't pin Daniel to the wall because he had an excellent spirit about him. So they twisted, contorted, and did a workaround to use the laws of the land to pin it against Daniel. Oh, I'm sure our government would never do that today to Christians, would they? So these guys, listen, tell me this is not so now you want to talk about a dirty scheme. These guys conspired together to establish a decree and have Darius sign it, wherein which if anyone was caught worshiping or praying to any other god beside the god of Darius, then there would be harsh punishment for them. So they signed this thing. They tricked Darius into establishing this decree and signed it in writing. This was through the Medes and Persians. Okay? So this was even after the Babylonian Empire. But Daniel was still there. Okay, this was even when he went through the Babylonian system and he thinks he's out of the fight, he's out of the woods, he's got the victory. Come on, it kind of reminds me of that Colorado baker. When he was being attacked and they try to come after his business, they try to put him away, they try to sink him, he gets the victory over that. And did you know he's now being attacked again by another group? Come on, there's a principle there. Just because God gives you the promised land doesn't mean that there ain't going to be giants waiting, doesn't mean there's not going to be ites waiting, and it doesn't mean there's not going to be walled cities waiting just because you get into the promised land or you get the promise in which God has promised you that you have now obtained. We got to pray. We got to press in. We got to persevere. We've got to contend. We got to continue. So I love what Daniel did. Daniel knew that he wasn't dumb. He knew what they did. In verse 10, it says that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room. Now keep in mind, the law said he could not pray to any other god. But come on, he was obedient to God. He did not back down. He remained faithful to God. And the Bible says he went home. He went into his upper room. He opened his window, which faced towards Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times in one day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was custom to his early days. Think about that, friends. Not only was Daniel unashamed of his God, not only was Daniel boisterous about his worship and his praise to God, but he even went as far, he didn't shut the window and close the curtains and turn out the lights. No, he opened the curtains, turned on the light, and opened the window, and he let it known, not once, not twice, but three times, that he was praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God who was the fourth man in the fiery furnace that brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through the fiery furnace. He was the same God that brought them out of the Babylonian system in which they were trying to manipulate them, control them, rebrand them, re-identify them, the whole nine yards. So Daniel does this, and your Bible says word gets back by these three guys, these men who set him up. And because they tricked Darius, who loved Daniel, by the way, but tricked him in assigning this into a covenant, into a law, rather, Darius had no choice but to throw Daniel into a lion's den. But come on, God sent his angel to shut up the lion's mouth. I said all that to say this. Here's where I want to close with this. Number one, how do we survive this Babylonian system? Again, one word, obedience. Are you obedient? The Bible says, if any man desires to follow after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Listen, our whole walk with Christ is about obedience. Are you obedient to the call? Are you obedient to the cost of the call? Are you obedient to the word of God? Are you obedient to the Holy Spirit? Are you going to capitulate? Are you going to compromise? Are you going to eat from the table of Babylon? Are you going to eat from the table of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's the answer. That's the key. And that's the question I'm asking you today. I'm asking our podcast listeners. I'm asking our Rumble, Facebook, and YouTube listeners. That's the question I want to ask you today. Are you ready to be obedient? Matthew 24 says, he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, again, I told you at the beginning of this, if I had to subtitle this message, it would be, if I'm wrong about the rapture, how do I prepare to endure to the end? Or this is how I would endure to the end, or I would prepare to endure to the end. As I said before, if I had to pick a story, a book, an illustration, a prophetic parallel of a picture of the end times and how the church must endure, and if I was defending, listen to me, if I was defending a no rapture doctrine or a post-trib doctrine, this would be my go-to, and here's why. Number one, I told you, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, before they endured the real heat of the trial, when they were at the table and they were being interviewed and they were being prepared, come on, to be rebranded, this is where the test was coming. So where did they stand there? The Bible says they had already purposed in their heart. They made that purpose in their heart. This, we're going to hold our standard. We're going to hold the line, and we're going to serve and worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, no matter what. They had already counted the cost, guys, the cross before them and the world behind, if you would. And because they drew the line in the sand and they had the standard, I believe this with all my heart, it was because of this that when they got into the heat of the trial, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were faced with the worshiping of an image, by the way, that is Revelation 13. Daniel chapter 3 is a prophetic picture of Revelation 13, because just as there was an image that was erected in the days of the Babylonian Empire of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar in the Middle East, there is coming in the future, mid-tribulation, there's coming a false prophet who will create an image of the beast that will be in the Middle East, This thing will be erected. I believe it's going to be artificial intelligence, and the decree will go out that you will worship this image. And if you do not worship this image, you will be killed. Your life will be taken. So we're not in Revelation 13 yet. We're not in the tribulation yet. We're not even in, we're not let alone in mid-trib. So the question is, are you prepared though? Again, remember I told you, what if I'm wrong? If I'm wrong for the rapture, I got to be prepared in the event that I'm wrong and we go through this thing, guys, and the mark of the beast comes, the Antichrist rises to power, the false prophet's here, and the image of the beast is erected. What am I going to do? Am I going to worship that image? Am I going to take that mark of the beast? Or am I going to be, oh, come on, somebody. Or am I going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, you know what? We didn't anticipate that it would come to this. Who am I talking to today? I'm just trying to prepare you. Don't get mad at me. Listen, Brother Ricky's a pre-tripper. I've always been a pre-tripper. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not all my chips are in the middle for a pre-tribulation rapture. Will I lean to a pre-trib? Yes. Do I teach a pre-trib? Yes. Is this the doctrine I hold to? Yes. And it has been for over 23 years. But am I going to be prepared in the event that I'm wrong? The answer, I can't answer for you, but I can answer for me and my house. Yes. If I'm wrong, I'm not waiting until I see the image of the beast. I'm not waiting until the revealing of the Antichrist in the temple in Jerusalem. I'm not waiting until the false prophet shows up with lying signs and wonders. I'm not waiting for all that to make my decree and purpose in my heart that I'm going to stay true to the one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not waiting until then. I am setting that purpose now. Are you hearing what I'm trying to tell you? So again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace. They were never delivered out of the fiery furnace, but they went through the fiery furnace. But the Son of God was there in the midst of the furnace and preserved them. So again, I get what you're saying. For, you know, people get mad at me. They're like, well, how can you not see this post-trib view? How can you see this no rapture view? Guys, you think Brother Ricky's ignorant. I see these things. I don't overlook them. I just say, and listen, I don't dispute these things. I just say, be prepared. I just think the reason why I lean for a pre-trib, there is far more evidence, at least for me, for a pre-tribulation rapture than there is no rapture or a post-trib, okay, or a mid-trib. That's all I'm saying. Now, let me go to Daniel. Same way. Daniel's not going to be left out of this. Daniel, here we go again. Daniel is, watch this, he is in the midst of a government. Oh, come on, this is so good. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, man, the Holy Spirit just dropped this in my... Daniel is in the midst of a government which he is serving in his day, which he has trusted in his day, that has turned against him. You didn't hear? Let me say that again. Let me get the back row right there. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, is serving a government that he once trusted in, believed in, that was good to him, that is now turned on him. Because after all, the Babylonian system never died. The physical kingdom may have been taken over by the Medes and Persians, but the system, are you hearing me? The system is still alive and well. So then it infiltrated into the Medes and Persians kingdom and the government of their day. And now the government in which once was trusted has now turned on Daniel. Who am I talking to today? And now persecution is arising against Daniel because of why? Because of the God he serves. So Daniel is now going to face trial. He's going to face a type of tribulation, being thrown into the lion's den. But your Bible says right in the midst of the lion's den to save him and deliver him. And the Bible says when the king came and he saw that God had delivered his servant. The Bible says that Daniel found favor in he already loved Daniel. Your Bible says that. But then he had great favor with him. And come on, the weapon that was formed against Daniel did not prosper. And come on, God took care of the enemies of Daniel. So I want to leave you with this today. If you want to know how you're going to survive this Babylonian system, guys, you're going to have to, again, we're going to have to decide what we're going to consume. Are we going to eat from the king's table? Are we going to eat from the Babylonian system? Are we going to eat from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords table? Are we going to eat from, come on, from Satan's spread that he lays out, the delicacies and the things that are intoxicating us, the things that are impairing us? Are we going to allow the enemy to try to change our identity and try to conform us? Your Bible says in the book of Romans, be not conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come on. In this word, in the word of God. So you're going to have to make that decision. You're going to have to make the decision that you are going to stand for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because listen, whether when we talk about he that endures to the end, I don't care what camp you're in, whether it's enduring until the trumpet blast, enduring until the eastern sky split, the revealing of the Antichrist, Revelation 13, or if it's enduring all the way to the end of the tribulation, whatever that looks like for you, we need to be prepared now, not then, now. Because in my opinion, if we don't prepare ourselves now, we're never going to make it through until the end, whatever that looks like. So I hope this really ministers to you today. I hope it's a great equipping message to you today. Again, guys, don't forget to hit that like button, that share button. Again, download our free app. Hit yes to push notifications. This is how you're going to keep up with our ministry. Every headline, every podcast is going to be readily available right there on your screen. Guys, we're all over the place on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We're even on Rumble right here on your screen. We'll pull that up. You can follow us on Rumble. And we're also on, guys, we're on Telegram. Go find us on Telegram. I think we've got, I want to say we have almost 11,000 followers on Telegram. It's not a lot, but it's hard to get people over there for some reason, but there's a lot of stuff there that we can share that we can't share on social media networks because of the censorship and all that stuff. So again, if you're not following us on Telegram, go look for us there as well. And as always, guys, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it encourages you, equips you on a week to week basis, we want to give you the opportunity to give back, to sow into, to partner with our ministry. You can do that two different ways. Right there on your screen, you can give electronically by going down to the bottom and hitting that donate button, or you can give electronically through the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. When you go there, it's going to take you to a page. You can give electronically through whatever means you'd like to do that, what you're comfortable with. And of course, you can give by check or money order by making it out to you right there on your screen, Endtime Headlines. That's P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Guys, listen, before we close today's broadcast, want a quick announcement. Typically, we broadcast Monday, Tuesday. We take Wednesday off, and we go Thursday, Friday. We got to change our schedule up here. So clean out your ears so that way you guys, we won't be getting messages and everything wondering where we're at. So this week, we're swapping Tuesday and Wednesday. So we're broadcasting today. We'll be off tomorrow, and then we'll be back on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So let me say that one more time. So we've got tonight. We'll be off tomorrow on the 7th, okay, on Tuesday, but we'll be back on Wednesday, be back on Thursday, be back on Friday. And then, listen, here's another announcement. Then this weekend, my family and I are going out of town and meeting my wife's family, and we're meeting up at a neutral location. I typically don't announce these until afterwards because of safety reasons. You have to be careful anymore. This is our Thanksgiving kind of gathering. Typically we do it during Thanksgiving, but we had to work around everybody's schedule. So the reason why I'm telling you this is because all next week we are completely taking off. We will not be doing any broadcasting because I'll be completely away from the studio. We will be on Thanksgiving break. So again, that's all next week. So that's, what is that? The 11th is Saturday, 12:30. So the 14th, that whole week of the 14th on, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18th, the 14th to the 18th, we'll be away from the studio. So there'll be no broadcast. So we'll share some older messages and stuff that you guys can be equipped with. So again, we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be off tomorrow, but we'll be back Wednesday. Thursday, we will be coming on to Larry Ragland's program, The Big Picture. So, but we'll share that here. We'll be on his program on Thursday night. So again, we'll be here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So we love you guys. Thank you so much for your partnership, your prayers, being a part of the broadcast and coming on today. Again, don't forget, you know, make sure you get this out there and share this with your friends, your family. We hope it's a great blessing to you guys. So we'll sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here and we'll see you guys on Wednesday night, November 8th. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.